In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I first came to St. Thomas about 12 years ago, Father Mead said to me, "I love Lent." And I felt guilty because when I was young, I hated Lent. I think it's become because it came from a feeling of wanting to keep Christmas going for as long as possible when I was a boy, especially as I lived in the north of England when it was dark in the morning when I got up for school and often bitterly cold, mixed in with the bad advice I received from adults when I was a boy that Lent was about giving things up like chocolate. No wonder as a boy I disliked Lent for so long, and everyone around me always seems so miserable. Writing in the Episcopal Journal in 2019, one of our parishioners, Pamela Lewis, shared an article titled, "Why I Love Lent," in which she said, "While the holidays can leave me breathless, Lent invites me to catch my breath. In the 40 days that unfurl from Ash Wednesday, I engage in a kind of spiritual house cleaning by taking a hard look at the state of my relationship with God, with others, and with myself." Now, I'm not sure if spring cleaning is something that happens these days in New York. The idea that spring is a time when the days are growing warmer and longer and a good opportunity for a thorough deep clean of your home. Nevertheless, it should not be lost on us that the word Lent comes from the Old English word for spring. As Pamela suggested, we need to engage with that kind of spring cleaning if it is to have any effect. Now, engagement is a proactive word. In Lent, we are so used to words like self-denial, which sadly is often interpreted as a kind of disengagement with the very things that matter. Lent is a time for taking things on as much as giving them up. Sure, discipline and self-control have their place, but the beauty of a holy Lent is the deepening of the discovery that I am truly loved by God, who yearns for an even deeper relationship with me. Lent can therefore be a time to be kinder to ourselves, to give ourselves permission to stop being overwhelmed by the busyness of our lives. As Pamela suggests, time to take a breath. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, was once asked about this kind of engagement. He responded by suggesting that we need to be more attentive to ourselves, to what we do with our daily lives and to the world around us. Now, what surprised me was the example he gave to the person he was talking to. It was so simple. He said, "Here's an example, taking time to drink a cup of tea properly." You could translate that into American as coffee, of course. "Instead of doing things at the same time, walking around the kitchen, reading the newspaper, listening to the news, whatever. By being attentive to small things," Rowan suggested, "we can have a greater engagement with things that really matter, starting with our own humanity." And from that tiny example, he said this powerful phrase, "Human beings deserve to have the fullness of their humanity engaged. Your humanity is more interesting and more alive than you could ever have imagined." Your humanity is more interesting and more alive than you could ever have imagined. Could this be the goal of celebrating Lent? Instead of simply a time of denial, a time also of a deepening of self-understanding, leading to a sense of being at peace with myself, those around me, and ultimately with God. Instead of simply clearing out the clutter of our lives, a time to give full attention to the parts of our lives that we have neglected. As Pamela so helpfully put it, by taking a hard look at the state of my relationship with God, with others, and with myself. Now, in our gospel today, Jesus speaks of three spiritual traditions used in most of the world's religions: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Now, I encourage you to read the gospel passage again when you go home today or before you go to bed. Note that the Lord is offering his disciples a different way of giving alms, of praying and fasting than that what they often see in others. He gives very clear and actually quite stern advice that they should not be like the hypocrites who take on those disciplines in order to show off, to prove how much better they are than others, which of course is a sin, the sin of spiritual pride. As T.S. Eliot puts it so deliciously in his famous play Murder in the Cathedral, when Thomas Becket is wrestling with temptations and at the end weighing up the choices before him of reconciliation with King Henry or a selfish defiance that might lead to his martyrdom. He says, "The last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right deed for the wrong reason." Do not be like the hypocrites, said Jesus. And he turned the three spiritual disciplines on their heads. These three disciplines, when engaged in the spirit of attentiveness to one's own state of life, with a view to deepening love of God and our neighbor, do not bring misery or discomfort, but rather unexpected rewards. When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so your alms may be done in secret, says the Lord. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Oh goodness, I grew up with some very severe Roman Catholic and Anglo-Catholics. They'd put their ashes on their heads and they'd look miserable all day of Ash Wednesday. I worked with some Franciscans for 11 years. Do you know what we did at the end of Mass? The Franciscans would stand at the door with a big wet towel and they'd wash the ash off and then they'd anoint you with the Holy Chrism and give you a big grin. Your Father will reward you. So, my friends, let us engage with Lent as a springtime in our lives. Let us take stock of our relationship with God and with one another. May it be a deepening of those relationships with God and with one another. And may our spiritual disciplines not make us miserable, but make us more joyful in the Lord because we are doing them for the right reason. Just make yourselves comfortable for a moment. We're going to pray a prayer together. This is a prayer written by the late Brother Roger of Teze. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you change and transfigure our heart just as it is. You do not even ask us to uproot the weeds. You take care of that. With our own wounds, the thorns that hurt us, you light a fire, and a way forward opens in us to welcome your spirit of compassion and the spirit of praise that brings healing. So that what is most resistant in us, our failures, our refusals, and our inner abysses, may be transfigured into energies of love and reconciliation. All you ask of us is that we welcome you and rejoice in the miracle of your forgiveness.